Don't have time to read that research paper you saved? Chelsea and Olivia want to help you out. We know how it is. That's why we read it for you. Welcome to the Exercise Science Too Long Didn't Read podcast.
Hello again.
Hi. Long time no see.
Only every week.
Mm-hmm.
So, fun fact.
I love fun facts.
According to Octane Fitness website, 60% of people who weight train get an average of 7 hours or more sleep per night.
Lucky.
Isn't that so nice?
Yes. I weight train and I want 7 or more hours of sleep a night. Rarely do I get it.
Yeah, but that's not your fault.
Sometimes it is, because Stardew Valley is real fun. Not sponsored. I just play it. How many hours of sleep do you get? I know you do all kinds of training.
I don't know, 8 to 9. I sleep a lot.
I hate you. I'm just kidding. I love you. I'm just super jealous.
I sleep a lot, and I still get tired.
People at my house do not let me sleep.
Well, that's what I was saying earlier. You have no control over that.
Well, I have an amount of control.
True. All right. So I have a quote from the paper defining mobility.
You do?
I do. So the quote from the paper is mobility, which can literally be translated into the ability of the joint angle of the body to move and function at their full range of motion in accordance with the intended functional movement is another factor that should be considered.
Typo number 2, they said factors.
This paper was full of typos.
That's disappointing.
Yes.
Although, I will say, based on the names, if English is not their primary language, they get a pass.
Oh, it could be a translated paper.
Also that. English is real hard.
Mm-hmm.
I'm beyond grateful that I was born in an English-speaking country, because if I had to learn this one, whew, it just wouldn't happen.
Nope.
Well, speaking of that, our paper today was written by last names Muhammad, Alali, Abmalek, Nadzalan, and it was published in May of 2021. Very fresh.
Very.
That's like still steaming out the oven a little bit. Relationship between squat mobility with snatch and clean and jerk technique. In the Journal of Physics, the purpose of said paper is a case study of students who have enrolled in a power and speed performance course. I did not know that was a thing.
Mm-hmm.
Neither of the colleges I went to offered it that I'm aware of. At least when I was there. You were at the same one, but like way after me.
Yeah.
The purpose of this study was to look at the relationship between mobility performance and learning the technique of the snatch and clean and jerk. Which, I do not enjoy that move, like, at all.
Which one, the snatch or the clean and jerk?
All of them.
Oh. Well, I do.
It seems very much like something highly likely to cause me injury.
Yes.
And I don't understand why that's effective. It's also like me trying to do Zumba. My brain sees somebody do something and goes, okay, I understand the mechanics of what they just did. And then I try to do it, and that is not what it looked like at all.
Yeah, that's true.
And so it's just, I'm not a fan of the snatch and clean and jerk.
I like them. They're very good for strength and power and mobility. There's a lot of good things about them. And
they're supposed to be for your quick twitch muscles?
Yes.
I almost screwed that up. Shh. You guys didn't hear it.
No.
We pretend it's not there. quick twitch muscles.
Oh, you did it again. Look at that.
Y'all can't see me, but I'm twitching my head and looking at my sister weird. Because why not?
Because why not? Well, there were 44 students in this speed, power, and agility class for 12 weeks.
Excellent.
They were ages 20 to 24.
Babies.
So college students. At the end of the course, there was a technical performance exam or test with which the study data set is composed of. So the performance assessment was performed in one day. They had a 5 to 10 minute familiarization and preparation period before they started doing their exam. The participants were asked to perform 3 repetitions of an overhead squat to assess their mobility.
I cannot do an overhead squat. Well, that's my mobility assessment right there.
Yeah, so you can't do that, so you probably shouldn't be doing a snatch or a clean and jerk. Right there.
No wonder I don't like them.
Yeah, pretty much.
Can't do them.
So then the participants were asked to do 3 repetitions of the snatch with a pipe or a 20 kilogram Olympic bar without any plates.
Those are still heavy. That's like 40 pounds, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
40, 45?
Mm-hmm.
I think Dad's barbell growing up was it 25?
I think so, but it was a curl bar.
Oh, that's true. I just remember he took all of his weights off of it for me and tried to have me do a bicep curl with it. And like, I couldn't, but I was like, I don't know, 8, 10.
Right.
Like that was heavy. Even by high school, like it was heavy.
Most barbells are about 20 kilograms, 20.5 to be exact.
I might be able to do it with the pipe if it weighed 10 pounds.
Oh, the pipe probably weighs like a pound.
Oh, like a PVC?
Yeah.
Oh, I might be able to do it with that one.
I think you could. I think you could handle it.
It's one of those things. And that's the other thing with the snatch and clean and jerk is I never want to go too heavy because I'm afraid I'm going to hurt myself.
Right.
But at the same time, you need to go heavier.
Because you get the power.
You can't snatch.
Right.
Like, it doesn't work. You're if just
it's
like,
too light, it doesn't do it. Yeah.
You're at that point, you're doing a bend and snap.
Yeah. Bend
and snap.
Anyway, if you don't get that reference, it's a movie reference, and I'll leave it there. After they did the overhead squat and after they did the snatch, they did 3 repetitions of the clean and jerk where they had the option to do the pipe or the Olympic bar. The authors noted that they had an option because it was based on the preference of the student and their ability to perform the movements based on the weight necessary. So makes sense.
Like, yeah.
Like Chelsea, you were saying that, you know, you would probably use the pipe because you can't. 20 kgs is a lot.
Yeah, and I mean, 12 weeks, like, you're going to improve, but everybody, it's college kids. You're going to come into that class coming from all different points in your fitness journey. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Some of them might have been high school athletes. Some of them might have been band nerds like me. Some of them might have not had any real physical activity at all, but you have to take a PE course to graduate, so there you go. So, yeah, your starting point is going to be very diverse.
Mm-hmm.
And so even if everybody improves by the end of the class, which is an effective class, that's great. Your ending points are still going to be just as diverse. So good.
Definitely.
Makes sense. Gave them a choice.
So
do what you can with your abilities.
So this was an exam. So they had a scoring method, right? So the scoring method was each repetition was scored by the assessor, and the score was on a 5-point scale, and the scale was 1, very poor, 2, poor, 3, fair, 4, good, and 5, excellent.
I would like to propose all instances of fair or neutral in scales like this be changed to meh. Exactly for that reason. It makes me laugh.
It's very meh, meh,
It's not good, but it's not bad either. It's meh.
Yeah.
So, follow-up question. What? Do you think the kids that actually use the Olympic bar got higher scores? Or is it only technique-based?
Only technique-based.
Because you've been in not... Even if you weren't in this class, you've been in similar classes, so...
Yeah.
Like, I took yoga for my PE because I wasn't fooling around.
I took yoga for one of mine as well. but that's because I didn't have experience with yoga. But anyway... Technique is what they focused on in this study, but if you're asking about like which one would be better, probably the 20 kg bar.
Oh no, just the exam.
Okay, the exam's just for technique, so that's another reason why they have the choice.
That's good.
Because
well, I didn't know if they would let you choose, because it's like, you know how gymnastics, you get a starting score based on your difficulty, and then they deduct points based on your execution.
Mm-hmm.
That was kind of my thinking of,
Is
your starting score higher if you went for it with the barbell?
I gotcha.
Because it goes two ways. One, you don't want to encourage people to injure themselves, but you also want to give people a goal.
Right.
Something to strive for. Like, you know, go for it. Don't hurt yourself and don't be stupid. But, you know, freaking go for it. Anyway. So what'd they find? What'd they find out?
One thing that is...
How'd the kids do?
One thing that's very satisfying is that they had 22 males and 22 females.
That makes my OCD real happy.
Right? So not only is it evenly split, it has males and it has females in the study, which is fantastic.
So good.
So the mean score for males for the overhead squat was 4.45, which would be categorized as good. The snatch was a 3.14, which was categorized as fair. And then the clean and jerk was a 2.09, which is categorized as poor.
Dang. What? I mean, no offense, but kind of what is...
I know.
What does that say about the teacher? I mean, I know kids are like... I mean, I was one, and some days you just don't want to do your homework.
Well, and in this class, I feel like all they would be doing would be Olympic lifting and sprints.
Right.
So I don't know. Anyway, The mean score for females for overhead squat was 4.22, which was good.
But less.
It was less than males. And then the snatch technique was 2.78, which was poor compared to the fair that the males got. And then the clean and jerk was scored a 2.36, which was also poor.
But higher.
It was higher than
the boys.
It was.
Interesting.
So the overhead squat was significantly correlated with the snatch technique performance, which is interesting. So the mobility was related to technique of the snatch, but not the clean and jerk, which is interesting. But they are different movements.
The snatch is where it goes up to your shoulder height and your wrists pop, right?
No, the snatch is where it goes straight overhead.
Oh, that's the straight arm.
Yeah.
Overhead.
And then the clean and jerk is where you go up to the collarbones and then you press up. Or you power up.
And you said the which two?
The overhead squat was significantly correlated with the snatch.
Oh, well, that fits. Yeah, that's definitely the same. So it would be like me. So I have shoulder mobility issues in the rearward direction.
Posterior.
Well, I just mean like if I'm moving them backwards.
Right.
So in the snatch thing, like, that's hamstrings. You know how, like, in down dog, they want your elbows by your ears?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I have trouble just sitting upright, putting my hands straight up in the air, and having my arm next to my ears.
Right.
I can get there, but I kind of have to, like, stretch and warm up, and kind of like touching your toes. Like, sometimes first thing in the morning, you're not going to get there, but if you... just warm up a little bit, then you can. Right. That's kind of where I'm at. So that fits. That makes sense to me.
Yeah.
Continue.
So they found similar results for males and females, however, showed a significant correlation with the overhead squat and both the snatch and clean and jerk, which based on their scores makes perfect sense.
Yeah. And what's interesting is that even though the females still did poorly on the clean and jerk, they did better than the males, but statistically, stereotypically, whatever word you want to use, we are stronger in our lower bodies than our upper bodies. So that kind of makes sense to me.
Okay.
Just because it's a different set of muscles and it's a different motion. If you have straight arms going from straight down to straight up, that's much more shoulders and back. But following close to your body and pulling up is going to be your other shoulder muscles. I don't know names for things. Your shoulder is rhombinous. I don't know. But you're coming up, you know, your hands are at your shoulders, and then you're just pushing straight up, which is much more of your, I do know what these are called. I just can't remember right now. Not traps.
Lats?
Yeah. So it's different. It's slightly different muscle group. So
yes,
it makes a little more sense why it would be different and why if women have typically less upper body strength, why they would struggle with both and struggle more equally with both than men who, I mean, we talk about broad-shouldered men for a reason. Like, they just, their triangles go this way and our triangles go this way.
And good point.
Y'all could see, she could see my hand gesture and y'all can't, but you've seen bathroom signs. You know which way the triangles go.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
You know what I'm talking about. And I may be just, like, making my own connections that out of thin air, that's fine. It makes sense in my own head. That's kind of all that matters. Make it make sense in your head and then tell us what you did.
Yeah, that'll work.
Show me your thought journey.
One thing that I found really interesting was that you don't know the experience of the assessor in this study. So you don't know the assessor. Was it the professor? Was it a PhD? Was it a master's? Was it a strength conditioning coach? You don't know what their background is, what their education level is, how picky they're going to be, all of that stuff. And then a Likert scale is all about perception anyway. So I don't know. It's interesting. It's all very interesting.
Yeah, I'm with you. I wouldn't have been able to do a Likert scale unless I had already mapped out, like, okay, if perfect is your arms are straight up on an overhead squat. Elbows straight, shoulders, things by your ears, your arms are straight, that's straight. That's perfect. So then what's the difference between excellent and good? Okay, well, maybe your arms are bent a little bit. Maybe your angle is a little more forward. But you're basically up. Well, then it would have to be a little bit more worse and a little bit more worse until you get to the point where you get somebody who can't even lift the pipe up at all. And I guess that would be very poor.
Yeah.
Or zero. If very poor is one, that would be zero. So if I were scoring, I would have to have already mapped that out in my mind, or probably on a piece of paper or something.
It would need to,
but I would have that figured out, because I wouldn't be able to do it other and make sure that I was consistent otherwise.
Right.
But that's also just my brain. Actually, my fiance worded it really well. He said having ADHD and things like that is kind of like being left-handed. And since you're ambidextrous, you might be able to relate to that a little bit. It's not that there's anything wrong with you. You just have to navigate the world a little bit differently.
Right. Right. I do.
So that's what I would do. But to your point, we have no idea if they did that. No they could clue. Have had very inconsistent scores. They could have, if they've been teaching these kids all semester, maybe they scored somebody lower who they knew just wasn't putting in the work and they knew didn't care.
I would hope they wouldn't put in bias, but there's no way to know.
Well, and you can't help it.
That's true.
Everybody's got a little bit of bias, even if you don't want to.
That's true. That's one thing that's not good about doing perception scales when it comes to scoring and assessing someone else. That's one of the, no, I'm not going to go on that tangent. Anyway, I wish that there were more demographic data on the students as well. It would be interesting to find out more about their heights, their weights, their BMI, body fat percentage, all that stuff.
Yeah. Well, and like I said, too, I mean, even if they didn't specify what kind, like knowing who was a prior athlete or current athlete would have been interesting.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, like I said, you've got the kids that are just trying to get through their PE course and maybe this was the only one left. And they just were like, well, good luck to me.
Or it's a class of, you know, kinesiology majors and all of them exercise to some degree. So they're all relatively familiar. But based on these scores, I'm going to guess not.
Yeah, it's got to be, for lack of a better term, amateur level.
Yeah.
New to this style of.
Thanks for listening to today's episode. Hopefully you got something out of this and you learned something.
So what, I guess in your mind, if you were going to apply this to a patient, like what have you learned?
I would definitely focus on mobility if their goal was to do something like powerlifting. So I would make sure that they have that strength and mobility core before we started learning the mechanics and the techniques of doing the snatch or the clean and jerk.
Oh, see? Excellent. That's a way better thing to end on. I'm glad I asked.
Yeah.
You're welcome.
That's a good question. All right. Well, thanks for listening.
Yeah. Thank you very much.
Okay. Thanks. Bye.
Later.
Thank you for listening to the Exercise Science TLDR podcast show. If you want to hear more from us, please write a review and subscribe. Join us online at exerciscienctldr.com. Remember, if it's too long and you didn't read it, we read it so you don't have to.